Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Ellis Paul is one of the leading voices in American songwriting and one of the top songwriters to emerge out of the fertile Boston folk scene. He helped create a movement that revitalized the national acoustic circuit with an urban, literate folk rock style that helped renew interest in the genre in the 1990s.
On the day the levee broke, the water did rise, the flowers did choke. I sat in my living room, lit one last smoke, then I watched it all drift away. Now my credit card's ringing up at 30%. There's a man in India wondering where the money went, but I can't pay. So I sat on my roof in Lake Pontchartrain, singing woe to my chimney, singing woe to the rain. A stranger came by, never caught his name. He said he's rowing to the Rio Grande. Air Force One, a blue streak in the sky. Mr. President, you can't afford to lie, 'cause I can't afford to pay.
He also writes folk music for kids and families and will be playing a free little folks concert tomorrow morning at 11 at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York.
I bought a ticket to the Dragonfly races out where the twinkling lightning bugs do light upon our faces. The crickets chirp, the bullfrogs bellowed beneath the moon before the sun. That's when the dragonfly races run. The winner gets a ribbon for a prize. Across the creek, through the hollow, you've got to fly like there's no tomorrow. There ain't no way to lose, but if you don't try, it'll pass you by. It's the race of the dragonfly.
He's playing a show there tonight too, but it's sold out. Ellis Paul, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
You're playing an evening show and a family show at Cafe Lena, and I was wondering if you first wrote adult music or family music, and how you know when you're writing which way the song will go.
Well, I started writing adult music first, and I did that for about 20 years until I had children of my own, and then I started an audition writing for kids. And generally, when I'm writing for kids, I know going in that I'm looking for a song for them, and I generally have the subject matter in my head before I pick the guitar up.
And have you ever, in all the years you've been writing music, have you ever suffered from writer's block? And if you did, what helped you get out of it?
I've never suffered from writer's block because I think one of the reasons why I've been able to avoid that was because I write such a wide variety of songs. They're not sort of stuck in one voice or one genre. So even if I'm having a slow period, I can pick up the guitar and just write an acoustic guitar part, or I can write for kids, or I can try and write for a movie or for somebody else, or I can co-write with somebody who doesn't have any blockage issues. So I've been able to work my way around that, and I'm pretty prolific. I probably write 30 to 50 songs a year.
Wow. That's almost one a week sometimes then.
Yeah, it's pretty constant.
You mentioned collaborating with people. What have been some of your favorite co-writing collaborations over your career?
Oh, I recently have written a bunch of songs with Christian Bush. He's a country star. He's in a band called Sugarland, and he's probably the guy I write with the most. And I've musicians as well, Don Conesini and Radoslav Lorkovich, who's a great piano player, and everyone brings a different flavor. Those guys are great instrumentalists, so they bring usually great guitar music and great piano music to the songs.
What do you most like about performing your music live?
The live performances I like a lot because the connection with the audience is so personal, and it's almost conversational. Even though they outnumber you, you feel like you're having a kind of a private one-on-one in a lot of ways. So to me, it's like the best part is conveying the meaning of the songs and then feeling the impact reflected back at me. So it's like a conversation in a way.
Do you enjoy the process of recording your music?
I do. I love recording. It's like dressing up the songs for prom. You know, you put all these fancy cummerbunds and flowers on the songs, and you send them out into the world, and they get seen by a lot of people. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it can be frustrating sometimes. You never capture the magic of the song when you do it live, and sometimes it's better than what you can do on your own. And so it's, you know, it's a little bit of a roller coaster dealing with all of the things in studio that either add soul or take soul away. You know, oftentimes people are playing guitars to click drums, which are machine-created beats, and you start losing soul over time the more you rely on that kind of technology.
I got laid off, it's Monday, and I'm calling to tell you it don't sit with me well. I feel like I failed you. You say we got each other, now it's plenty enough, and I know that's true. But we got one kid coming and one still in diapers. It's a rainy drive home with one good wiper. Leave the porch light on, I need a beacon just to pull me to you. If I ever lost you, I would be lost too, just drifting in a sea of blue. In my skin like a rose tattoo, like a rose tattoo, like a rose tattoo.
We're speaking with folk singer-songwriter Ellis Paul. When you're working on your music, how do you know that you have the songs, the number of songs, the quality of songs ready to put together an album?
It's hard. Sometimes you don't even know until you're in there hearing the songs back in the studio, because the studio gives you a little more objectivity, and you can see how the songs lay side by side, and you start to get a sense of what the album looks like. And albums are becoming less important these days. A lot of people are just saying it's time to just release song by songs by songs without having them lay together as a group, because of what the technology and the internet are bringing to the recording industry. But for me, I like the collection, because it's like a short story collection. And you know, I try to go in with about 20 songs, and then we narrow it down to, you know, 13, 14 songs at most. And you listen for holes sometimes. You know, you need an up-tempo song, so you have to write one in studio to accommodate the hole. And sometimes you need a love song or a ballad or something, and you got to write that one too.
When you have to do that, write an up-tempo song or a ballad or whichever hole you have to fill in studio, when you're doing it sort of on the clock to fill a hole, is that songwriting process very different from when you do it more organically at home or wherever else you write?
It involves more caffeine than wine. You have to get jacked up a little bit to, because you're working in studio and you're doing late hours as it is, so there's some exhaustion there. But generally, I always, like I said, I always have a string of partially written songs in the background of my mind, and I just pull them forward if I need them. And then oftentimes I'll just, if I need help writing them for consistency. Because I can edit songs myself over a period of months, but when you need them within a period of days, it's good to get other people involved to give you some objectivity and talk through some of the problems that the song is creating.
Pete Seeger died this past Monday at the age of 94, and I was hoping you would tell us about what he meant to you and maybe some of your Pete stories.
I've got quite a few. I knew Pete. I didn't know him well, but we hung out a little bit over the years. And obviously, it's like losing a pillar, a cornerstone of the genre that I'm in. You don't find people who are that committed to their cause for that long a period of time anymore. So he's iconic in so many different ways, and just was a great human being, and obviously a great musician as well. I think sometimes people forget how great of a musician he was because they look at his public service and his social work, and his music seems to be secondary to, you know, the sing-alongs and the protests and the civil rights movement and all of the communist stuff that he went through with Congress. And but he was a great guy. One of my favorite stories was I was riding an elevator with him, and this is at a big music conference called the North American Folk Alliance Conference, and a young kid came into the elevator and said, "Oh, Mr. Seeger, I'd like to give you a CD of mine." And Pete said, "Well, I'm sorry, I won't have the time to listen to it and give it any kind of thoughtfulness, and so I can't take it." And he says, "Well," the kid said, "I don't really care if you listen to it or not. I just want to give it to you." And which just shows, you know, how important he was to everybody, that, you know, someone would give a CD without any regard to whether it was listened or not. They just wanted the act of giving it to him because he'd given back to them so much.
There's a picture on your website of you and Pete at the Newport Folk Festival. What what story surrounds that photograph?
Pete was doing a show with me and a few other musicians in a big ballroom in Newport during the festival. It was a Woody Guthrie tribute night, and he came over to me and he just wanted to sit and play. It seemed like, you know, the odd thing was it seemed like he hadn't had a lot of sit-down time with musicians just to play songs at that time, so he just asked me to sit and play with him. And so he sat there, and I thought we were going to have a great private moment, but as soon as he sat down, you know, 100 people circled us and
sure.
started taking pictures. And it made me realize how, when he was out in public at these big festivals, how very little time he had to really just be himself.
Ellis Paul, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and have a wonderful time at Cafe Lena.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for doing the piece.
Ellis Paul will play a free little folks concert tomorrow morning at 11 at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York. More information is available on our website, wamc.org/roundtable.
The moon must know it's Friday, he's been drinking all night, crooning and swooning, he says, "Come dance in the half light." So whirl out of step, choreographed by wine, you dance with the moon, the stars, and the stop sign. In my mind I see of two nights, but I'll keep that thought sealed tight. Live for the moment that is tonight. There's no rain in the gutters, the moon's fully bright. Let it shine all its power. I may not get another Friday night. You whirl in a childlike wisdom. Spellbound, staggered in a starry, starry space. Round, 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 he's spinning round you, dancing, twirling in wild lunar shades. The moon's up but eclipsed tonight by curtains and candlelight. He's tapping at me through the window pane in his top hat and cane. In my mind I see lifetime of tonight, but I keep that thought sealed tight. Live for the moment that is tonight. There's no rain in the gutters, the moon's fully bright. Let it shine all its power. I may not get another Friday night.
Our tune for today is Friday Night by Ellis Paul. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.